Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
It's a funny one. It's very hard to make comparisons here. Obviously, with a father like Kieran McDonald and a name like Kobe, there's going to be comparisons made if you have any bit of talent about you.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
League of Ireland Football.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Now, welcome along, everyone, to League of Ireland Late Night. League of Ireland Football on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware, get the facts, and visit drinkaware.ie. Thanks for waiting, everyone. It's been a while since we last chatted to everyone. We've had a FAI Cup finalist confirmed. We've had a relegation. We've had one title winner, yet to have the second so far. And we've even had two League of Ireland stars help their countries qualify for the World Cup next summer. Speaking of stars, I'm joined by the two stars of League of Ireland Late Night, Shane Keegan, Johnny Ward. How you getting on, lads?
How's it going, man?
That intro, Ben. I love that.
Well, listen, it's been a while, so it's about time we gave someone a bit of League of Ireland Late Night. As usual, folks, hit the request button and we can hear from you from around the grounds. Hoops fans, will you be satisfied if you just win the one trophy this season? They still have to get the league over the line. Who will survive the drop? Few big results tonight in the relegation race, and obviously the race for Europe heating up with a few massive results. Shane, Keegan, I suppose we'll start with you. Were you at a game, or are you watching a game from home tonight?
No, comfortable on the couch here, Ben, watching the Virgin coverage, as I have been most of the season, which has been outstanding. I'll say it's just absolutely, I know we've talked about it before, it's just fantastic to be able to sit down every Friday night. Yeah. For me who's based in the Midlands and a good hour and a half from the nearest game probably to watch, it's been ideal. And listen, another right good game tonight, maybe only the one goal in it, but I thought it was a cracker of a game. Rovers have come out the wrong side of it, despite being pretty good, in fairness, I thought. But Pats, I don't know, it's another one of those performances where you watch and you're thinking, how are these boys not actually challenging for a title? Like, you know, they've just so underwhelmed this year, because you watch that performance tonight and you're thinking, surely they have to be like a top two side. And as of now, we still don't know if they'll even manage to make Europe. But no, very, very good again tonight from them.
Johnny, were you at a game or were you at home as well?
I'm actually in Daly Mount Monday, which is going to be very, very interesting now, considering the results tonight. So I'm like Shane. I've watched a fair bit of Virgin lately, and just the coverage is so good. Like, you almost look forward to, you know, considering, I suppose, the coverage when RT had it. You know, it was later, kind of closer to the game, and that in Virgin just have really stepped it up, and the lads in the studio know what they're talking about. But it kind of feels to me, it was an amazing day for Pico Lopez. He becomes a father, obviously, and he's celebrating the week that was with Cape Verde. And it almost feels to me like the Rovers players want him to be there when they lift the title. You know, the last week he wasn't there. They weren't great. Only really when Shells got down to 10 men did Shamrock Rovers start to play. And tonight, I think Joseph Fanang deserves huge credit, because he made an incredible save from Rory Gaffney.
Like, yeah, it's brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, like Shane, you know, he's a lot of those Pats players are coming into the game on the back of the down of that performance in Turner's Cross, when like they were really disappointing, and Anang did not have a good night. And that for me is one of the saves of the season. He had to get down so low, no time whatsoever. Unbelievable strike from Gaffney. And I just feel Shamrock Rovers aren't playing full tilt at the moment. It's like as if they know they haven't won and they kind of want to win in front of their own fans, or they want the captain to be there.
The Anang slide tackle on Noonan was top class as well, Johnny.
Big time. I thought Noonan could have been a bit tougher in the tackle. Maybe Danny Mandroyu slightly overplayed the ball, but I was toggling between that game. Like, it was like kind of a bad director of the red zone over here tonight, watching the Galway United game as well. And the funny thing, Shane, Kevin Doherty mightn't care how Drogheda play, and you're very pragmatic as a manager yourself. The two teams leading at half time, Pats and Galway United, had roughly a third of the possession, and it didn't get much different in the second half, yet they were both comfortable winners, if that makes sense.
Well, they're just following the worldwide trend, or certainly the English Premier League trend, really, aren't they, in terms of that? So many teams becoming a lot more practical. You see that Rory Gaffney chance you're talking about, sure, that came from the biggest trend in English Premier League at the moment, which is long throw-ins, the flick on from Lee Grace, and then, as you say, what a save from Benang. On another night, Rory Gaffney could have had a hat-trick, Johnny. Like, he had that header from the brilliant cross. Who was it? Corey Sullivan, was it? He had a header from if it goes either side, like, he got the power on it. If it goes either side of the keeper, it's in. I think there was another half-decent chance from, like, I just watched Stephen Bradley's interview there just before we started. And, like, I'm a massive fan. I just think he's, even in his, whatever about his match tactics and his team preparation, he always hits the right tone in an interview as well. Like, he's, look, I know, obviously, they shouldn't be panicking. They're going to wrap up the title. But he just spoke about, you know, the fact that they did a huge amount right tonight, and I agree with them. I do think they did a huge amount right tonight, and that was without Pico, without Lee Grace, without Josh Honahan.
I don't think they did, Shane, to be honest. Like, I think Pat's a lot of chance in that game to win it, really. Like, they were, for me, they were comfortably the better team.
It still created a lot, Johnny, though. Like, I thought they created quite a bit, and obviously, you're going to cough up more chances. Like, listen, look at the names we just named there. Like, they're literally, well, okay, Matt Healy's been exceptional. I suppose Graham Bird. Listen, they have a lot of exceptional players. I was going to say that Pico, Lee Grace and Josh Honan were arguably their three best players this year, but then you think of how good Healy and Burke and Watts have been. They have a lot of exceptional players this year.
Well, lads, I was at a game that was anything but pragmatic in the first half here, as I'm leaving Talca Park. Sligo, every time I've watched Sligo this season, I think it's only the second time I've actually been to see them in person rather than sitting at home on the couch watching them, but every time I go see them, I'm just awed by the young attacking talent on display. Like, Jed Hickey tonight, he had a point to prove against his old side. He was very good. I thought Elding, like, as usual, tries to lead the line the second half. He was out on the wing. King Kavanagh was up top in the first half. But Shells, like, hung in. They got their equaliser on the 30th minute. I don't know if you've seen Meepo Rebecca's goal, lads.
Yeah, I saw it.
What a strike. Like, he's literally running away from goal as he somehow manages to strike it back in the opposite direction from where he's running. How, like, what a strike.
Yeah, it's a rasper. Absolutely, like, brought Talker to his feet. It's one of those where he takes the ball into you and you're looking, can he maybe shimmy and lay it off to someone? Like, the last thing I expected was to him to turn and hit that with the venom on the strike as well. Like, unbelievable. Second half... Like, very, very cagey game. It was like you could feel the tension. Like, they knew that Galway had gone one up, sort of thing. Sligo, that is. And you could feel the tension of the game. They didn't really play as kind of free-flowing as they had for some sections of the first half. But Chales kind of, yeah, they took advantage of it. They started pressing with about 20 minutes to go. And then, I mean, if you've seen the goal, it's a slice of luck for Shells, and it's one of those things when you're at the bottom of the table and things just aren't going your way. It looks like Will Fitzgerald couldn't really fully tell from where we were. And then John Martin gets his fifth of the season against Sligo. He only actually has 6 goals in the league, and 5 of them have came against Sligo. To wrap it up, like, if you're John Russell, there's a lot of positives to take. I think they really took the game to Shells in the first half. Like, they can really play football. Like, when... You know, I feel like we talked about it the other week about the style of football from those teams around the bottom. And of them, they definitely play the best style of football. I think they're fourth in the form table going into tonight. And it kind of looked like, you know, they'll be fine, sort of thing. But after the results tonight, God, it really throws everything up the mix. And it means that game in Cork next week against Cork next week for Sligo is huge.
Yeah, and I think they still will be fine precisely because of that goal or that game, Ben, to be honest. I know Galway have an extra game still to play, but I don't know. I can't, like, they win that game, that puts them on 40 points. Waterford have away to Pats, then home to Galway, obviously, is the last game of the season. I don't know. I think Waterford could be heading into that game in a situation whereby they're on 37 points and Sligo and Galway are both on 40. So I suppose if they beat Galway and Sligo are beaten on the final night, well, then we could end up with a scenario where you've got three teams on 40 points and it all comes down to goal difference. And if that's the case, Johnny, you and Galway are definitely pretty okay. I think they've got by far and away the best goal difference of the three sides. But yeah, it could come into play yet, Ben. It definitely could.
Yeah, United were very good tonight. Like, I was disappointed in Bowes. Like, they did kind of have a lot of the ball, but like, it was just a bit like an old Go United kind of performance tonight. It was Hickey. It was ultimately Keane Byrne. Ironically, he was with United earlier in the season on loan. He kind of hooked a Bobby Burns cross into his own net, but it was all about like Hickey's perseverance, and then Morahan handball was kind of cavalier what he did really, but it was again Stephen Walsh put a lot of pressure on, and really United were very, very comfortable. 2-0 up, never looked like conceding, or certainly never looked like conceding two goals. And it kind of feels like, you know, with the whole upheaval with the passing of Ollie Horgan and Moses having left before that, and all of these things that were happening, it feels like they've kind of knuckled down. John Daly has come in, they have improved performance wise, they're a lot tighter defensively. And it was a damaging defeat for Bowes, Shane, because they'll go to, like, they play that game against Pats now Monday, and all of a sudden they're actually in trouble for fourth again. And really, it was a poor performance for Bowes tonight, I thought.
Massively, because look, I think we spoke about it the last time. We were like, their remaining three games are against three teams that they're literally competing for that European spot with. Now, look, there's a pros and cons for that, but home to Pats, home to Shells, away to Drogheda. I mean, what a finish. Like, literally the four teams that are hunting around for the remaining spots for them all to come together across. And listen, in general, Ben, I mean, the top of the table is decided, the bottom of the table is decided, and then you've got the eight teams sandwiched in between, where five of them are playing for European positions and the other three are. So there's literally only two clubs at this moment in time with two games left, three for a couple of them. We're able to rest on their laurels. For everybody else, their entire season is still, you could argue that Derry are pretty much there now, but by and large everybody is still, you know, coming into the last couple of games, and everybody still, their season hangs in the balance, the success or otherwise of their season still hangs in the balance.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it, tonight, Evan?
But unbelievable. Like, that's now, I think that's just maybe second or third time I've seen him there. And, like, you remember Matt Sligo, and he was good, but, Jesus, you watch him there tonight, he's a level above, lads. Again, like, really, really impressive on the ball. Going forward, he's just so calm on the ball, like, when he moves forward, it's like he draws defenders in and then just easily jinks by them. I didn't get to speak to John Russell after the game due to timing with this, but I got to speak to Joey O'Brien, and I asked him about how did Jack Henry Francis fit in with the lads and can they see the talent? And he said, you know, it's clear from the minute he steps on the training ground, that sort of thing. But again, tonight he was brilliant. But just as you said, Shane, as well, that the last couple of weeks, I mean, it's everything we could have asked for, really, at the start of the season, to have eight teams still in it. Like, eight teams with something to play for. Okay, maybe you take away Derry, but seven, eight teams with two, three games to play for, it's remarkable. You might actually hear, if we can hear from some fans, I'm looking at some of their requests, and if you keep getting their requests in, Shane Kennedy, since we're on the topic of Shower and Jack Henry Francis, I might add him in now. There you go, Shane, are you with us?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah, we have it there, Shane.
Oh, that dropped me your mouth. Yeah, did you say something before I came on?
We were just talking about the game, your team's game, Shelburne. Were you at it tonight in Talca?
Yeah. Jack Henry Francis is the best midfield in the league. That's, we'll start off with that. That's,
yeah, he was very, very impressive tonight, I have to say.
He's outrageous. He's just, his ability on the ball to get us forward, it's just, he's another level. You can see where he came from. He's ridiculous. And whatever happens at the end of the season, whether we get there into Europe or not, it's looking good. But sure, we could easily lose the Bowls and Pats, two hard games. But for next year, he's definitely a player that you'd want in your team. And the Matt Healy's and the Dawson DeVoy's, and this is the good thing about coming on often. I don't mean to be like controversial for the sake of it, but I think he's the best midfielder in the league. And that's after having him for three games.
Shane, you're watching him. Honestly, the last few games I've seen him, you're wondering how have Shells pulled this off? Like, this lad could play at such a high level.
Yeah, and that's, you'd like to think now with Europe, this, we can have a right go with him in the team. I suppose that's nearly where he'd want them to be judged off, because he's still good for the league. Like, I don't know how he's in it. Like, he's ridiculous. Like, and yeah, he does. He don't know. Like, he's not a six. He's not an eight. He's just gonna do everything. Like, he can literally do everything, and he's hopefully gonna help us next year to unlock the teams that are at the bottom, because they're the ones that we struggle with. Like. But we're on some run that's like four in a row, and I think Joey's only lost one game after a mad goal against Rotterdam in, like, I don't know, 12, 13 games he's here now. Like, he's,
I think you've scored in every single league game as well since he came in.
Yeah. Like, tonight he takes off JJ Lunny and he puts McEnroy in there because he can get forward a little bit better, and he's not afraid to make changes here at half time. Although his hospital got played into our hands a little bit, taking off Kavanagh. He was a bit of someone up front for them, a bit of height. Second half, they kind of hooked and puffed. But that's the thing with Sligo. You know what they're going to get. Like, they are a nice team, but we just kind of sat off them tonight just because it's the best way to beat them, I think, is to let them have the ball, and you know they're going to give a chance. And even set pieces, we look a threat now. I think we scored off a set piece, that second goal, but it was a good header at the back post. I think it might have been Sean Boyd or even Lewis Temple. They kind of took all their height off. Oh, that's the only thing from a Sligo perspective, is John Russell's decision making. With everything Joey's doing, even Dickie on Monday after 2 minutes, so I was like, left wing back against the Cork team that's kind of sitting. 2 minutes, he gets a goal. Everything he's doing is just torn into gold dust, as they say, is it?
Turn to gold, yeah. I do agree with you. I do think taking Keane Kavanagh off was a bit of a weird substitution. I don't know whether there was something behind that. I thought he offered a presence up top, which was probably needed for Sligo tonight. But they play such lovely football at times that just, you know, sometimes at the back when you watch them, it's just like, look, they're really unfortunate tonight. The Daniel Kelly goal, like the freak off his shell, he throws his hands up straight away. It's just really unfortunate. But Shelburne, like, as you said, four on a bounce. And you, when I speak to Joey there, you're talking about going away to North Macedonia on Thursday. And, like, there's a real air of confidence about that squad. And it's something that, I don't want to say towards the end of Duffer, it necessarily wasn't there. But there's definitely a shift when you speak to people inside of Shells, like, after games. It's just a relentless thing of positivity and next game, next game, next game. It must be very exciting. I know, obviously, you're going to be handing over the title to someone else, probably Shamrock Rovers season, but it must be an exciting time. Like,
100%, yeah. Like, you can see the work rate in the team, and Joey tactically, like, is doing absolutely everything. Like, he couldn't get anything wrong. But I just think it shows, lads, that, like, how important big players and injuries are. Like, Rovers tonight, missing players. I did them last week, in my opinion. And Matt Healy was there, and he's the best player in the league, apparently. But in my opinion, they won four in a row with Gary O'Neill doing the same job. Pico Lopez comes out, Josh Hillman comes out, and all of a sudden they struggled. Last year, there was no Gaffney. Like, big players, and even Galway, I meant to say to Johnny there a few weeks back, Galway, I know they had Oddie Hogan, but Hickey wasn't playing, Jimmy Gohan wasn't playing. Like, when big players are missing, it's just, it makes such a difference. Like, and now Rovers are at the losing 2 in a row without that. So you'd be thinking if they can, and Jack Bourne, obviously, where that's why we are where we are, because we didn't, our defence has been all over the shop for the first half of the season. We'd no defenders, like, even tonight. Like, we've got a makeshift back, behind the back three. And you can see Joey's one thing he likes to do is play fullbacks as centre halves, which I think he likes the pace, but they're not really defenders. So, and we stopped giving away stupid goals.
You spoke about the form there, Shane. Like, it is, I'm just looking at it here, like, it's 8 wins in the last 11 games. Like, that is serious, serious going. Like, it's top stuff. The off the field side of things as well, Shane. Like, take Jack Henry Francis for an example. Like, there has to be a massive amount of praise there as well. Like, I don't know whether that signing, you know, obviously Joey plays a role in it, Luke Byrne plays a role in it, maybe Mossy Quinn plays a role in it as well. Like, I think he's nailed down till the end of the end of 2027, I think. Like, what? You know, talk about doing your business right off the field.
Yeah, and I think as fans, we do have confidence that it's not 2006 again. Like, I think we do have our stuff in the right order. So although he's on a big deal and he's on decent money, I'd imagine, I think we can kind of afford it, and we're not going to go belly up. Like, and the long deal is how you get these players in. It's something Bowles have done. But yeah, no, he's on good money, and that's it. Exactly, we're only going one way, and that's hopefully up, and it's not going to go 0-6 on us. Like,
Johnny, when you look at the performances we watched again last week from the international side. Like, this young fella has to have aspirations of trying to break into the international team over next.
100%. Like, if, and for me, I don't know what Shane thinks, but for me, it's how easy he does things on the ball in no time at all. He's just able to get on the ball, control it really well, get it moving quickly. Like, and our Irish midfielders are quite static at times. Like, they're not able to turn quick. We haven't had a player to control a midfield for Ireland basically since Roy Keane. Like, it's been, and it's a massive, massive problem for us, such that when we play at home to Armenia, we literally decide that the best way of us beating Armenia is by not conceding and hoping we score, because otherwise we're too exposed. That's how bad our midfield is at times. And like, he does, like, I've only seen him a handful of times for Shells, but he's mighty impressive. Like, once he gets a run of games, he's so young, and starts getting that European experience. I'm fascinated to see where he goes, but I'm like Shane Kennedy. I did think he just looks different level.
One more thing as well on him is, before I forget, is it's something you definitely hear kind of more things at the matches. You could hear JJ Looney asking him for a pass back, and he's like, give it to me, and he just ignored him, and he wanted to go forward with the ball. And I think it was in end of the first half we got a chance off it, but like, JJ wanted a simple pass, which is something that Shells fans give out about him. But like, he wanted the ball back to him, and Jack just completely ignored it, turned and went forward with the ball. Like, it was
that's one thing that really strikes out, is that every single time he gets a ball, his head is up straight away, and it's looking forward straight away.
But he's standing,
like,
he's literally constantly moving his head, even when he doesn't have the ball. He's a joy to watch, and yeah, the future is definitely bright with him and the team. And I suppose one thing he's always doing is he's playing Meepo every game. Meepo starts, I'd say, 90% of the time. He plays. I think he didn't play in Cork. That was the first time he didn't play. And there tonight, I think the reason why he had time is because we had overloads on the far side, and that's something Joey brings. Like, the fullbacks, the wingbacks are so much higher. He's definitely more attacking, which is quite surprising, because he's the defender and Duffa was the striker. But Joey definitely let them off the leash. Like.
Yeah, it's an interesting one now. Like, you're speaking there, like, you're 5 points clear, but you do have to play Bowes and Pats. Like, that 5 point, like, we were speaking here the other week about Bowes being however many points clear they were, and now all of a sudden that's thrown up in the air. So, with Conference E kind of thrown in the mix as well, it's that kind of squad rotation is going to be huge. Like, we saw today, obviously, Meepo start. Sean Boyd comes off the bench. Sean Martin comes off the bench and scores. Harry Wood rested again tonight. Like, I can only assume that's because he's played on a Monday night, and yet you have the game on Thursday as well. Do you think you can hold on to that spot ahead of... you're currently 5 points ahead of...
Look, you could... Don't get me wrong. You could easily lose the Bowles and Pats. Like, they're two good sides. But I suppose winning tonight, we haven't lost it. If that makes... Like, if you go and lose the Bowles and Pats, yeah, we're a point ahead, 5 points ahead. But if you lost to those two teams, you can't say you threw it away. Like, they are two good sides, where if we don't win tonight, we kind of left it late, then you're like, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot. Obviously, the thing for Bowles is Bowles are going to have to beat us to get forward, I think. And that suits us a little bit more than if they were ahead of us, we would have needed to beat them. But yeah, obviously Bowles can beat us and Pats can beat us. That's happened already this year. So that's two hard games, but we put ourselves in a position where we were miles off it, and now it's firmly in our hands, and it's more for next season for me, which I'm more impressed about, not what happens in two games.
How does he manage the squad now, Shane?
Which?
How does he manage the squad?
He's been managing the squad, rotating every game. Dan O'Kelly was left wing back, and even Cameron Edwards came out of the team a few weeks ago, and now he looks fresh. And even Chuck tonight didn't start; he didn't even come on at all. That's he's had to do it, and I thought that would have cost us Europe. But for some, I have no idea how he's managed to do it. But we've won every match, which is the credit to Joey.
Shane, thanks for coming on tonight. We've a few people who've been waiting a while to speak, so we might get one of them in now. Marty, who I presume was watching Derry City tonight. If I can get him in there.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Marty, can you hear us? How are you? Were you watching Derry City tonight?
I was indeed, yeah. We're just on the way back now, just after coming over the Carlow border, so might call in for a cup of tea with Shane.
No, I'll stick on the kettle.
Good man. Sorry to break up the shells and Henry Francis Love in there, you know.
we'll move from the Henry Francis love into the Michael Duffy love in, will we?
Absolutely. What a player. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Save us again tonight.
Top class by the looks of things. Yeah. Did well for the first as well. Listen, he's I would have said Michael has so much talent. Obviously, I got to know Michael briefly at Dundalk. I mean, he has so much talent that you could make an argument that last year he probably under-delivered while still having a very, very decent season. But there's just so much in him that you could argue that he under-delivered last year. He's really in his prime years. He needed to get back to his absolute best to show everybody what he was capable of. I mean, it's not that long ago that he was been linked with international call-ups and all of that, but my God, Marty, he has been top-class for you this year.
Absolutely, yes, and I think Tiernan deserves a lot of credit for getting the most out of him this year, because, as you said, his league form last year was poor enough. It was more like he was kind of sensational in the run to the cup final. Like, he scored in every round, whereas in the league, I don't think he scored since July or something, so... Yes, absolutely brilliant this year, and I'd give Tiernan a fair bit of credit for finding a way to get the absolute best out of him again. He's back to like his kind of Dundalk, 2018 form.
You look at the start of the year, and I suppose the amount of pressure that Tiernan was under early on, things are that you're all but there in terms of confirming your European qualification now. Okay, maybe you would have started the season with genuine aspirations of actually pushing for a title, but I would imagine the vibe up around the place is, by and large, this man has done a fairly decent job this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. But let's not forget now, we're going to get a big 7-0 win over Rovers now on Sunday and put ourselves in the driving seat, So don't write us off yet.
But that would be a turn up for the votes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's satisfactory. It's not brilliant, and it's not a disaster. It's just about good. Well, it is satisfactory. We'd have to take second, especially with the potential bonus of the Europa League qualification. That'd be brilliant. So it's a good start, I suppose. Most Derry managers of the last few years have kind of started like a house on fire, and it's kind of ended in tears. Like, Higgins would be a good example. Declan Devine was like that. Kenny Shields was like that before that. So normally it's a really, really good first season or two, and then it really trails off. Whereas I'm kind of happy now Tiernan has the kind of steady start, so maybe that can go the opposite way this time.
Bower Waterford, like Marty, they coughed up bad goals after being 1-0 up.
Yeah, like, we had no striker at all, so we had to play Gavin White and Duffy up front. And Waterford, like, they just didn't. They huffed and puffed, as you said, and But they never, like, we didn't look uncomfortable at all, despite the fact that we only had kind of 14 senior players to pick from. And, yeah, we were out on our feet probably from the 50th or 60th minute. But Waterford just didn't do enough to kind of, yeah, well, I thought we were kind of, we might have been there for the taking. But in fairness to the guys, they dug in and defended quite well. But I think Waterford will be annoyed at themselves. I think they didn't really throw the kitchen sink at it either.
What do you need to do? What needs to happen between now and the start of next season for you to actually properly go toe-to-toe with Rovers?
I think probably just more legs in the team. Like, you know, we've some great servants. Like, Mark Connolly would be a great example. But I think he's kind of 32, 33 now. So we just need to freshen up the team. And, you know, our age profile is probably a bit too high at the minute. So I think we need to kind of start looking as we did before. Like when Higgins came in the first, he kind of raided the first division for the likes of Brian Maher and Ryan Graydon, and even players like Adam O'Reilly, who was a Pats, and, you know, the young talent. So I think we need another a batch of youngsters, really, Martin. We kind of have good experience down the side, so it's time to get that the legs into the team.
Anybody in particular that you'd encourage him to go after?
Yeah, I really like Barry Coffey. I know it's an obvious one with the amount of goals he's scored. But we're a link between the attack and midfield. Since Will Patching left, really, we haven't... I know Frizzle came in, but whatever's going on with him, he's not getting a look in at all. He did come out tonight and look half decent, but we're badly needing that kind of player. So, yeah, he'd be one on my list anyway if I was doing the transfers.
One thing about Derry, in fairness, like, they got a late winner to win in Galway against Pats. They were two goals down, got back to 2-2. Against Bowes, they won 4-3. Against Shells, got a 1-1 draw. Against Drogheda, came from behind to draw, beat Sligo, and came from behind again to win tonight. So, like, for a team that is actually full of a lot of new players, they actually have shown a bit of spirit as well.
I have indeed, and that was one of the biggest problems under Rory Higgins, is that kind of when we went 1-0 down, we very, very rarely ever came back. We might have got a draw. And I think last season, for example, in the league, only once did we actually come back from a losing position. So Tiernan is going to flip that on his head this year. Like, we're coming back all the time. So that's been a very encouraging as well.
Marty, thanks for getting in with us tonight. And I'm sure Shane will keep the old kettle on for you in case you're passing by many times soon.
Fair play, lads. Thanks.
Cheers.
Good
morning, thanks. I'm going to get Gavin in now here. Just while we're waiting on Gavin, lads, a word on Cork City. I was down there for the Cup semi-final. The atmosphere was unbelievable. Obviously, they had a protest on before the game. But it felt like the whole stadium was really behind the team. And it was like a Cork City that the league should have. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Cork should be this mammoth team in the league. And you look at the results this season, and every time I speak to Jerry Nash, it's like he has this image that he wants for the team and what he wants to do. It's just, where do Cork go from here? And I suppose what happens if they win this cup final?
They've been much, much better, in fairness. Like, they really have improved in the last six games or so. And, like, the performance against Pats, when you consider Murray and O'Sullivan are out at the moment, and the amount of young players they've brought through Liam Kearney's academy, like, it's exactly what the League of Ireland should be. Like, really good young players coming through. And they were outstanding against Pats. Like, I know Pats will be criticised a lot, but, like, Cork City were very, very good and played lovely football at times, epitomised by Sean Maguire. And you do kind of feel like they, you know, there's been so much upheaval off the pitch. They now have the final to look forward to. They knew they were relegated, and they can kind of build for next season. And it might be a bit of a pause from a distraction from, you know, the upheaval off the pitch in terms of protests and all of that. But, like, they actually go into the cup final with a chance, where they're playing the very good attacking players. McLaughlin's been outstanding in midfield. And I give them a squeak in Shamrock Rovers. There's so much else going on at the moment as well. And they, I've been really taken by Cork the last few games.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Yeah, Gavin, do we have you in there?
You did.
Gavin, what game are you watching?
I was at the Galway Bows game.
I mean, what a result for Galway, wasn't it?
Well, as a Bows fan, that was the worst performance on the annual winners this season. If we don't beat Pulse on Monday, we can kiss European football goodbye.
Yeah, it was a funny one, Ben. Like Bows missed Douglas James Taylor, but like they were very, very flat, and United's physicality like was a problem for them. They never really looked like they were comfortable in the physical stakes, had an awful lot of the ball, but didn't really create much, and it was a flat performance to put some on the back foot. And like, it's kind of a weird one for Bows, because there's been so much goodwill towards like what the team has done and the management, and since the wobbly start they've had. But if they do miss out in Europe, it'll be a weird change of narrative at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm just going to invite in Jonathan Higgins as well, because I think Shane tried this a couple of weeks ago where we had a representative from both sides in. And Jonathan, obviously, I presume you would have watched the games, so you'd be a bit more informed than I will on it due to the fact that I was at Talca.
Yeah. Evening, guys. Yeah, no, I was in Eamon DC Park for my sins. Huge night, really, isn't it? Really, on the Bows end of the table. Bad result for Bows now. I thought, you know, they're probably slightly dominant in the first quarter, but didn't really create anything. Goal that maybe on second reflection from a set piece was probably a little bit harsh, although there did seem to be a bit of a nudge from Cornwall on Bruder, and it was disallowed. But then they didn't really. Meekson had a pretty good chance that he kind of took his time. He probably should have punished it, really. Took his time on the right-hand side, and Clarkey makes a save. But, yeah, after that, it's really hard to remember any sort of clear-cut Bowles chances. And that Bobby Burns was excellent tonight.
What about Walsh?
Left-back for goal. What about Walsh? Yeah, the Warrior, 3-6-9. And he's running around like it's his first game. He's a nuisance. He's a Warrior. He's given everyone timber at long facets of the game. He's on his own up top, 2v1, 3v1 when they went to a back three, and he's just running around like a sprint chicken, making a nuisance of himself. And look, you know, you talk about players coming and going, but the old cliche, it just means more to local lads, doesn't it? And as you touched on previously, like, he's from a stone's throw just over the road. He is Mr. Galway United. He's a Warrior, and yeah, just give his heart and soul on it. But Burns makes a good run. Good cross. Hickey might have got a flick, ironically enough, off Keane Byrne. Seemed tight enough by the angle, and it goes in. And then in the second half, you're really waiting for Bows to spark into life. They make two changes at half time. They bring on Whelan, they bring on Parsons, and you think, and they go to a back three, and you think, okay, they're going to be in trouble here. They're really going to pin Galway United back. They didn't, and if anything, it was United. There was a bit good crowd, you know, attacking the Dyke Road in the second half, and led by Walsh up top, they just tore in. And David Hurley, I thought, was exceptional again in the middle of the field. They get a penalty. It's a moment of madness for Moran. Sticks his hand up and handball, and Hurley is ultra cool. Little shimmy, rouses it in bottom left hand corner. And then maybe United did sit back a little bit deeper, but it felt like one of those nights where Bowes might be there till they play again on Monday, but they might have been, on this performance, they might have been there till Monday and wouldn't have scored. And it's a bad, bad result, isn't it? And there's a lot of unhappy Bowes supporters. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
On the relegation battle, I think Waterford will finish ninth. I can see Galway and Sligo prone clear now to get safety. Because tonight I wasn't expecting Galway to get anything because they were just so bad in for the last few months. But I have to give credit to Caulfield. He got the players motivated tonight, because if Galway was lost tonight, for me there would be in serious trouble for the playoff places. But as back to both, I don't know why both give Alan Reynolds a new contract for this. I think the board so wait to the end of the season to give Reynolds a new contract. So if both don't get Europe, all the blame is be on the manager. Because we have not been good enough since June. It's just been like bad defeats or, you know, no breaking a team down in Galway. And with Dean Test Clark in the Galway goal was just so easy for Brendan Clark.
Johnny, it is amazing how quickly things can change, swing around. Like, you know, you're looking at...
Isn't it five minutes before half-time, Shane?
But we're talking about a month ago, like, you know, Bowes were sitting, what, second, third, looked like Europe was definitely going to come for them. And then Rennie and the lads all get new contracts. Everton looks wonderful. And then, I assume, after tonight, I would imagine the Bowes fans were probably fairly under case, I would have thought.
Every Bowes fans were booing, and the winners didn't have the balls to face the boos. And I could understand the fans frustration, but they need to know if a must win game on Monday against Pats. Like I said, if they lose on Monday, I think we could kiss Europe goodbye. But if we still finish fourth, and I can see all Bowes fans being robust fans for one day in the cup final, but if both get Europe that way, I'd still be upset and angry because we don't deserve Europe next season.
Yeah, I still think Pats or Bowes have done a lot right. Like, they've been very good in games. Dawson's been absolutely outstanding. I think that Derry game at home was real, real killer. Like, when you look back, that 4-3, that was a game that they look back on and was like, because they were very much in control of where they were going at the time. But definitely tonight, like, that was a performance more befitting why the fans were pissed off earlier in the season. Like, it was flat, and physically they just weren't really able to cope with Galway United. And that Pats game now takes on a completely different complexion, because Pats' tails will be up. Their away record is terrible. But maybe they'll lift it, and the fans will be there in numbers in Daly Mount. But it's a really, really weird one to call that now.
It's fascinating. At one stage there in the first half, it was scoreless in M&DC Park, and Waterford and Sligo were both 1-0 up. United were 5 points adrift from the playoff spot. It's amazing how it flips. You know, there's a school of thought here. Julian Kenny, of course, has the stats out, but if United were to beat Drogheda next week and Pats beat Waterford, that would be Galway United safe, because of the score, the goal difference is a big one. So it's amazing how things can swing in the blink of an eye, and it's a huge, huge unite for Galway United, just in terms of the other two results going their way. And look, there's the little, mini little situation as well, isn't there, when Shamrock Rovers now have to go to Derry and to win the league. Will they be, if they get a point up in the Brandywell, will they be celebrating? Will their eye be off the ball win tonight with Europe and everyone come around? It's such an exciting end to the season. I think we're all a little bit scared halfway through the season when Shamrock Rovers were just ploughing ahead of everyone. I think anyone with any sort of football IQ can predict at the start of the season. A couple of games in, the Shamrock Rovers were going to win it, and you know, for the drama we had last season, we thought it might peter itself out. It's just been fascinating, and it's just kept us all on the edge of our seats. And a couple of games to go, and the excitement levels remain at an all-time high.
Yeah, it has.
I think if Sligo beat Cork next Saturday at the Sorgbound, I think that would guarantee Sligo safety as well. So I expect Sligo to beat Cork next Saturday at a very packed Sorgbound.
Yeah, it's going to be next weekend is going to be huge for every side down there. Jonathan and Gavin, thanks for hopping
Thank
on,
you.
Lads. Jonathan, safe home.
Cheers, guys.
Shane, we might touch on the first division now just before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Obviously, the playoffs are set and three are in, but the real talking point tonight is the Billy O'Neill red card for Bray.
Yeah, well...
What happened
I'd argue there's three big talking points if I just flash through them very quickly. So the first one...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm glad to be able to say I've been raving about Billy O'Neill all year, lads. This young fella is just absolutely, whether Bray go up or don't go up, he 100% has to be playing in League of Ireland Premier Division next year. But yeah, so goes out, bangs in four goals, absolutely flying. And then from what I'm hearing, board went up for him to be substituted, and as he's making his way off the field, there's a confrontation with referee Alan Patchell, and Alan Patchell sends him off.
That is bizarre.
Which means Billy O'Neill, and now listen, it's a straight red, I think. I don't think it's a second yellow.
They have it down as straight red on FAI Connect. Does that mean he misses?
He's already had a red card this season. So I'm thinking it's possibly three games. So he could miss the two legs of their playoff semi-final and potentially the first leg of their playoff final if they manage to get into it without him. Absolute mad carnage. To go from showing why you're arguably the best young player in the first division to now being unavailable for the most important games of the season is crazy. The only saving grace for... And bear in mind, they're 4-0 up at the time. So there's like, how do you even get yourself sent off and your team are 4-0 up? And the only plus for Bray is they'll then look across at the team they're due to play, UCD. And while well up in that game, the UCD goalkeeper managed to get himself sent off. So he's also going to be out for the same games. So both managers will be fuming as to how two players of such importance to them have ended up making themselves unavailable for the semi-final of the playoff.
What chance do you give Treaty against Cove then, Shane?
I was just before you say that, Shane, I was just about to ask that. How much of a benefit is that? 21 points between the pair. And now it's
you have a team, like a typical position like the playoffs in England, a team coming in that sort of had half a chance of winning it and are basically coming in the back of like some poor form, essentially, against a team that have snuck in at the end, having to not lose in Wexford. So like psychologically, it's kind of advantage Treaty for me.
Johnny, I've held the biggest news for last, and I'm judging by the two of you that both of you are unaware of the scenario at the moment. So there is carnage down in Cove. Their manager was not on the bench tonight and has posted a cryptic clue on his Instagram page that seems to hint at the fact that he's gone.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Wow.
So make of that what...
Talk about a spanner in the works.
Yeah, make of that what you want. I have heard somebody else has told me that his daughter is getting married tomorrow and maybe that's the reason, but there are a couple of League of Ireland accounts that are very quickly highlighting the fact they've put up the Instagram post that he put up. You need to have a look at that. I'm not sure what angle he's coming from on the post. Our friends down in Cork, the other Three Amigos podcast, they have it up if you want to have a quick look on there. But yeah, it's, all is certainly not right down there, which is mad considering they've had an absolutely outstanding season. So yeah, keep an eye on this one and we'll see who's actually going to be in the dugout for them come next Friday night.
Yes, we've the playoffs to look forward to. We've, as you said, eight teams maybe still in the hunt for what position they're going to finish in the table. Like, could we have asked for a better, an FAI Cup final to come on the 9th of November? And I should also add in a women's FAI Cup final. I'll be at it in Tala on Sunday, which looks a fantastic occasion as well. Bowes women's reaching their first ever Cup final up against the mighty Athlone. Like, what a month left of football we have.
I think the thing for me, Ben, is that the disappointing aspect, or the two disappointing aspects of the league of Ireland Premier Division this season would be Cork City not fulfilling their potential ultimately. The way they're playing now, they would have been way more competitive, and they were unlucky with injuries, but they would have been way more competitive. And at the top, Shamrock Rovers just haven't been pushed anywhere near hard enough. And ultimately, we should be watching leagues to see who wins it. But the battle for Europe is completely embellished in terms of interest by the fact that Shells and Shamrock Rovers have somehow both gotten into the group phase in the Conference League, the league phase. So that makes this battle for Europe so compelling that Stephen Kenny got a 5-year deal and Pats were in such trouble going into tonight for Europe. And that battle for Europe is just, it's fascinating. The fixtures, as Shane alluded to, make it so interesting. And if Drogheda don't make it, that on the perspective of just fairness and karma, you want them to make it, but you'd expect that, you know, they will still find it difficult because of their budget. They punch way above their weight, but the other team that misses out will be gutted.
Yeah, well, that's if there is to be another team missing out. Don't rule out a Cork City upset yet. But yeah, you're right. If it is to be Rovers that win the,
I genuinely wouldn't rule that out, Ben. Like Cork City have a chance against Shamrock Rovers.
Do you remember, Johnny, after the quarterfinal, the two of us were on the pitch in Richmond and we heard the roar?
I've said that, like, a few times since. It was just like, I was like, oh, they must have gotten Kerry or something. I was like, no, they got Cork City away. Like, that's the way Pats have been playing away from home as well. That was no gimme at all. They were poor in the league down there and Cork were really improving. They were well up for it, I think they were slightly motivated maybe because of that, but like, you're right. I mean, it would be the story of all stories if fourth place just didn't do it.
It would, and it could still happen. Don't rule it out. Before we wrap up here, folks, just want to say League of Ireland Football on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Johnny Ward, Shane Keegan, thanks for tonight, lads. It's been a while.
Top man, Ben.
And we'll see you all soon. I hope you all enjoy your travels home. Maybe they mightn't be so nice if you're in a battle for Europe and you're slipping away. Take care, lads. I'll talk to you next week.
League of Ireland Football
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.